all of the New England congregation has returned home. To my knowledge, we have all come home. And I think, brethren, this was the first time that more stayed home or in temporary dwellings, not at a feast site, than actually went to a church-sponsored site. So there were more who did not go to a church-sponsored site. And I will do a little bit more of an accounting of the numbers in the next week or so, and I might be able to report that to you. But even with all the COVID-19 restrictions that we had to undergo or endure, I might say, I hope this was the case, that your feast was spiritually rich and meaningful. Ours certainly was. Very different, though, of course, with all the restrictions in place. Well, now the feast is over and it's back to reality. And one of the things that we always realize about the feast is that it's so short. It's here and gone, it seems, so quickly. And that is really a metaphor for how fleeting time is. Our lives, very quick, they pass. And in the meantime, brethren, what are we doing? Well, we are looking for a heavenly country. And at the feast, this is the country we were picturing. It was painted for us, the vision of it was painted for us in the sermons that we hear at the feast and also in the fellowship. In that kingdom, all of us looking for it together, we are ordering our lives according to it, to that coming kingdom. And so it is actually like, in a sense, being in that kingdom when we're all together at the feast, where we picture a time when the problems of this world will be a thing of the past. The things that we see going on today that just are very dreadful and really scary. As we look at the future of our country and of our world, we have the coming election, and there's a kind of a foreboding about what's going to happen after that election. All of those things, including our own problems, the things that we endure, the problems with our health, with our finances and jobs, and dealing with other people, all the issues that we deal with, brethren, they'll be gone. All those problems will be a thing of the past. And we pictured a time at the feast of great health, of peace and prosperity, a wonderful world to come, God's kingdom on earth, and the heavenly kingdom beyond that, that will last forever and ever. And so we heard these messages at the feast and also were encouraged in the fellowship about this world to come. So much that we heard about and could see in the scriptures that helps our understanding. And as we come back from the feast, you get a sense of refreshment, I think, about our hope. We become, in a sense, more convicted of that coming reality as we continue to wait for the day of Christ appearing. You know, our forefathers in the faith were the same. They were like us, looking for a heavenly country. You probably went to Hebrews 11 during the feast in one or more of your messages. You may have heard from Hebrews 11. Let's go there now and look at the faith of our forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and many more, who, like us, were looking for a heavenly country. And this is the country we're looking for now. Let's go to Hebrews 11, verse 9, starting there. By faith, he, that is Abraham, dwelt in the land of promise, as in a foreign country. So he was dwelling there in the land that was promised to the children of Israel, but it was like still a foreign country, as we are now in a foreign country, dwelling in tents or temporary dwellings with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him, according to the same promise. And we were there at the feast in our temporary dwellings, which were in some cases quite beautiful. I'll have to tell you, I don't think I've ever stayed in an apartment or condominium as big and luxurious as the one we were able to enjoy with our family at the feast. It was quite nice. As it says here in verse 10, he waited, that is Abraham, waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. So that temporary dwelling, that temporary existence was not what he was looking for. He waited for this to come. But it never came for Abraham, not yet. And it hasn't come for us yet either. They all died in faith, as Hebrews 11, verse 13 said. They all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them far off. They were assured of them, as we have been assured at the feast. It really bolsters our hope in that kingdom when we see all of the things in Scripture that God promises. They were assured of them, saw them far off, as we do. They embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. They were sojourners. Sojourners. That is, they were passing through to another place. And so as we come back now from the feast and come back to, I guess you could say, reality in a sense, or some might want to say the grind, whatever you want to say, we're back to our normal lives, our normal routines. And so this message is really a reminder to continue your sojourning. That's what this message is about. Continue your sojourning, because until the day of Christ appearing, you must continue to wait as you pass through this present age, and I might say this present evil age and all the problems that are in it. This isn't our home. We're not a part of it, this world. We're looking for another country to come. And so I've just titled this, Our Journey Continues. Our journey continues. Now after the feast, it continues. We keep looking. As it says in verse 14, they who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. We're not home yet. We're seeking that homeland. And verse 16, they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. And that's really what we celebrated at the feast, what we looked forward to so much at the feast. And we now have to continue to look forward to that heavenly country to come, that city that God has prepared or is preparing now. The meaning of a sojourner, like we are, is one who is not staying long. He doesn't put down roots. He is passing through, not taking up a permanent residence. He only stays for a short while and then moves on, as we are now, brethren, moving on from the feast, but we're still looking as our journey continues for that country to come. The Feast of Tabernacles, as short as it was, is now in hindsight. It's behind us now for 2020, but it has helped. It should have helped, really, to renew our conviction in this heavenly hope. Very much so helped us to renew our conviction, or refresh it, if you will. That hope that is not a reality yet, the one that we're still waiting for. Feast is now past, and so our journey continues. And all the richness of the feast, too, the things that we enjoyed, you know, we save our second tithe as we're commanded to do, and we have all this extra income or money to spend at the feast to make it such a wonderful time of rich and full enjoyment. You probably had some pretty nice meals at the feast. As I mentioned, we had a very nice condo where we stayed, and we had some moments or meals out with the family. We didn't even care if we took the bill, you know. I mean, we just wanted to pay because we could pay, and we paid for the whole family a couple of times. We were glad to do it, and because we had the extra money to do it as we were commanded to do. And all that we enjoyed, where is it now? Well, that meal, those meals, it's a And that's a reminder to us also that our lives are very temporary. As the scripture says, David wrote this, man is like a breath. Days are like a shadow. He wrote that in Psalm 144. Man is like a breath. His days like a passing shadow. And James the Apostle wrote, what is your life? It's even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Yes, that's what we're like. Our physical lives are like a breath. Our days are numbered. We are passing through a temporary time like our forefathers, looking for the heavenly things to come. And with them, we declare or we confess that we're strangers and pilgrims on this earth. So you're in a pilgrimage. Your journey continues. You're looking for a heavenly home as you pass through this world, seeking another homeland. Can't hold on to this one. We can't hold on. Like we can't just stay at the feast forever. We have to come back to our lives. But we have some distance to go before our hope is a reality. And God willing, I hope we have many more days. I hope I will live far beyond my 61 years now, and I'll live many more. And I hope that's the case for all of us. Until we arrive at that homeland, brethren, we have to continue, though, our sojourning. And how are we going to do that? How should we behave? Well, Peter tells us how. If you would turn with me over to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter tells us how. This is the way to keep up our endurance, keep up our hope, keep up our journey. Stay on path. Stay on the path. Therefore, he says in verse 1 of 1 Peter 1, I'm sorry, verse 13 of 1 Peter 1, gird up the loins of your mind, like, you know, basically hitch up your pants. On a journey, the loins of your mind. That's what it means when you gird up your loins. You take up this gown that is draping your body, and you hitch it up so that your legs can move. That's what it means. That's exactly what it means. Gird up. When you say gird up your loins, that's what it means. But gird up the loins of your mind because you're on a journey. Be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to your former lusts, as in your ignorance. But how? But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all of your conduct. Because it's written, be holy, for I am holy. And that means is that we obey God in all of his commandments, not just in the letter, but in the spirit, all the way to the thoughts and intents of our heart. And verse 17 says, if you call on the Father, which we do, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay or sojourning here in fear. And that means in fear of God, in reverence of him, in complete obedience to his commandments, because we love him and we love his people. Conduct the time of your sojourning or your stay here in fear. Look also at 1 Peter chapter 2, next chapter, 1 Peter, and verse 11, as Peter begs them, I beg you, do this as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from the fleshly lusts which war against the soul. And that doesn't only mean drinking and eating, but it pertains to our emotions as well, getting upset and angry, but keeping ourselves in check, keeping our thoughts in check, under submission to God. Abstain from those fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. They're just going to cause you problems if you get involved in that, if you let those fleshly lusts go. Abstain from them as sojourners and pilgrims, because this isn't your world. You're going to another one. Have your conduct, verse 12, honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God on the day of visitation So our journey now continues, brethren, and I'd like to make some points here. So first of all, I've really already brought this out, but we'll go into it a little further here. Our lives are not permanent. We're just passing through. We have to conduct ourselves as one looking for a heavenly country. We're not going to put down roots in this world because we're looking beyond. One of the great meanings of the Feast of Tabernacles is, as I've mentioned, the passing nature or the temporary nature of our lives. And Ecclesiastes is such a book that kind of sobers us up to that reality. So let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 1, and we'll take a few verses from Ecclesiastes today. As a matter of fact, Ecclesiastes is traditionally read at the Feast of Tabernacles in the Jewish way of keeping the feast. They often go to Ecclesiastes, and we do as well, because it really points out one of the key lessons from the feast, that our lives are very temporary. And so this is what Solomon writes, who, as we know who he was, he had so much wealth, he had so much at his fingertips. What does he write about it? As he says, the words of the preacher in verse 1 of Ecclesiastes 1, the son of David, king in Jerusalem, vanity of vanities, all is vanity, vanity of vanities. And that really means it's temporary, it's passing away, it's not going to last. What profit, he asks, does man have of all his labor for which he toils under the sun? Because what happens? One generation passes away, and another generation comes, but the earth abides forever. And I think all of us have experienced this, where we see people who we've known in our lives, they're no longer here. We've seen them come and go. We've seen their lives pass before our eyes, if you will. One generation comes, or another generation passes away, and another generation comes. And here in New England, it seems like we're always making babies in this area. We're seeing a new generation come in all of the time. It's wonderful to see. We have a lot of young families in New England, and these new generation is coming. Year after year, it seems like we have our population grows organically here. It's wonderful news. Well, life doesn't last forever. And that's the point here I'm making. It's not permanent. Life doesn't last forever. And Solomon is saying it's transitory. It's just passing away. Now, at the feast, you probably enjoyed, as I mentioned, some very nice things. And I just like to tell you about one of our experiences. We had, in addition to the family meals we had, we were invited one day over to a house party and a baptism. There were two baptisms at this house party. So they did the baptisms and then after that, the party. And Mr. Shaby was the feast coordinator, and he asked me to assist him in the baptism kind of last minute. I didn't think I would be, but I just brought my change of clothes just in case. And sure enough, he said, you know, I could use your help. And there were probably, I'm going to guess, 50 maybe or more people at this baptism and the party to follow. One, two women who were baptized, one wanted to be baptized in the pool because it was easier for her to get in and out of the pool that was right at that house, right behind the house. But further beyond the house was the beach and the ocean. The other woman wanted to be baptized there. And so Mr. Shaby and I, after baptizing the first woman in the pool, went with the other woman. Her name was Maria Lucas. And we waded out into the ocean and kept going and going. You know how the ocean can be a little shallow for quite a number of yards out. And we were quite a ways from the shore. And when it was at the point where we had enough water, the waves were really rough. And we literally had to hold on to one another so we wouldn't go under. As my wife said, we were all baptized several times out there in the ocean. And I we would get Maria under the water just at the right time before the next wave hit. And that's the way it was. It was quite an experience. And afterward, we came back in, dried off, and asked the Holy Spirit to be given to these two ladies. It was a wonderful event, a wonderful event. And we enjoyed a very big party after that. And there was so much food. It was just everywhere. Food in that house just laid out everywhere, and people were celebrating. Well, it's all over now. All over now. And what's permanent, I guess I could say, about that experience is that these two women are now members of the household of God, and we've asked God to give them His Spirit, and that's what's permanent. We are going to wear out. Our bodies are not permanent. We will wear out. As Ecclesiastes 3, verse 19 says, Ecclesiastes 3, verse 19, "For what happens to the sons of men also happens to the animals. One thing befalls them, as one dies, so does the other. Surely they all have one breath. Man has no advantage in that sense over the animals, for all is vanity," or I should say, all is transitory, all is passing away. And verse 20, "All go to one place, for all are from the dust, and all return to the dust." And so we're on this journey now, brethren. We're going to our destination, which is a permanent home that lasts forever. And how are we going to get there? As Peter already told us, "Be holy as I am holy." And this is the same thing that King Solomon says. So let's go to the last chapter of Ecclesiastes and hear the conclusion of the matter. The conclusion of the matter in verse 13 of chapter 12. This is it. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all. As the King James puts it, this is the whole duty of man. And we know what that means, brethren, not just in the letter, but in the spirit, in every sense. The Apostle John wrote to us that we cannot hold on to this world. And that's the next point. Point two, don't hold on to this world. As the Apostle John wrote, the world is passing away. The world's passing away, and we can't hold on to it. But he who does the word of God, or the will of God, abides forever. And John wrote that in 1 John 2, verse 17. The world's passing away, but he who does the will of God abides forever. So the second point, don't hold on to the world. Because really, if you try, you're just going to find it's like Solomon says, it's vanity. It's all passing away. And you're not going to find lasting pleasure in there. What we really experience in the world, though, is suffering. I mean, we all do. And so this is what Romans 8, verse 18 says. So if we'll go there to Romans 8, verse 18. As we are on our journey, what do we think about the present sufferings of this time? How do we put them in the right perspective? Paul says it perfectly here. The sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. You can't compare. There is no comparison. I really like to use this verse a lot. When I write a little verse and when we write prayer cards out to people, I like to include this verse. And when I write my personal prayer cards out, I like to write that verse because this person I'm writing to is suffering. And how do they put it in perspective? This present time, it's not worthy to be compared with what's going to be revealed. For it says, verse 19, the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. That is the permanence in us, the real life that is in us. And the whole creation is waiting for that revelation, our revealing. For the whole creation, verse 20, was subject to futility, or we might say vanity, or we might say it's all transitory. Not willingly, but by reason of Him, because of Him who subjected it in hope. It's just passing away. But it's here for a purpose. We are here for a great purpose, to learn about God, God's way of life. And God wants us to make sure that we are looking to that permanent home as we pass through this life. And we can't hold on to anything in this world, as Timothy, or 1 Timothy clearly says. If you would turn to 1 Timothy 6, it says in verse 7, 1 Timothy 6, we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we will carry nothing out. You can't take it with you, as they say. You can't. So don't hold on to it. But man wants to hold on to it. Men will fight for what they think is important. But what does God say? Look beyond this world to the heavenly, to what's coming. Our forefathers in the faith looked to that home, to this heavenly home, as we are now looking for it. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 1. Because this is what will happen to us. We're not permanent, but our earthly house, 2 Corinthians 5 verse 1, if that earthly house is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, but one that's eternal in the heavens. That's what we're looking for, that permanent home. As also Philippians 3 verse 20 says, Philippians 3 verse 20 says, our citizenship is in heaven, from which we eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will, verse 21, transform our lowly body so that it is conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able to even subdue all things to himself. This is the home we're looking for. And so the final point, brethren, is to keep looking for the world to come. Keep looking for that permanent home. Keep looking for it. In Revelation 21, we heard this at the feast, probably on the last day, on the last great day, we heard this, where John talks about a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. This is Revelation 21 and verse 1. As he says, I saw this holy city descending from God out of heaven, New Jerusalem, prepared as a bride. That is us with God. And I heard a loud voice, verse 3, from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he'll dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be their God. What a beautiful vision that is, that God will dwell with us forever. We will dwell with him. And God, verse 4, I love this verse, will wipe away every tear from their eyes. How meaningful that is to us. No more sorrow, no more pain, no more crying, for the former things are passed away. They're all gone. And now what does God say to us? What does he say about this promise? He says to John in verse 5, write, behold, I make all things new. Write, for these words are true and faithful. This is going to happen, brethren. God says this is going to happen. This is true. Verse 6 of the next chapter says, verse 22, or chapter 22, verse 6, these words are faithful and true. This is going to happen. Verse 7, for behold, I'm coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the word of this prophecy. Keeping the whole word of God. As Solomon says, the whole duty of man is to keep God's word. As he says now in verse 12 of chapter 22, I'm coming quickly. My reward is with me to give to everyone according to the work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments. The same thing we read about in Ecclesiastes 12. The whole duty of man, not only physically, though, in the letter, but in the spirit, that they may have right to the tree of life. This is the country that we're looking for, that they may enter into the gates of the city. That's where we're going, brethren. And it won't be long now before these things come to pass. How then are we going to spend the rest of our days of our sojourning. How are you going to pass the time as your journey continues? Our forefathers in the faith, they dwelt in tents, as we read. They were looking for a city that has foundations, whose builder and maker is God, a heavenly home. Our lives are not permanent. Our bodies are going to wear out. And we can't hold on to our existence. We can't put down permanent roots here. We're waiting for that permanent home to appear, a new heaven and a new earth. We have a distance to go yet, a time yet in our pilgrimage as we are sojourning in this land. God willing, we'll have many more days of sojourning. I pray that we do before we arrive at our homeland. Remember Peter's instruction to us about how to behave until that time. Gird up the loins of your mind. Rest your hope fully upon the grace to be brought to you. And be holy as I am holy. And let's finally go to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. And therefore, he says, as he's talking about in this verse about the new heavens and the new earth, since the present heaven and the present earth, what we're dwelling in now, will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be? That's 2 Peter 3, verse 11. What manner of persons? Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements melt with fervent heat. And nevertheless, we, verse 13, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells, just like our forefathers in the faith. And so, summing up what Solomon says, this is how we are to behave. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Our journey continues, brethren. We're back from the feast. The kingdom of God is not here yet, but may it come soon.